Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's a Friday on The Usual Suspects. That means, F yeah, we're all present and accounted for and happy to be here. Charlie's so happy he couldn't leave yesterday and can't get out of here soon enough today. He wants to spend time catching up because he missed us. Hopefully you did too.
It's good to be loved by Charlie.
Yes. So we're all here. Nick here. Barry's here. I'm here.
What up? What's
hopefully
going on?
Hopefully y'all are here, and hopefully everybody came out okay, because as we started the day, all of our heartfelt thoughts were in the 409 and in those areas, and as the rain proceeded, it became more apparent that we were going to need to be thinking about just about everybody.
Boy,
in the big city.
This whole thing has me just discombobulated. I'm not going to lie. I get into this routine and this schedule, and I get a certain rhythm going in my life. And then when something happens and you're home all day, and you just, it just screwed everything up. I feel like I should come in more prepared today. Not so. It's weird. It's just, does it throw you off too? Like, did it mess up your, you know, the way you're just, I just feel like you get into this groove of life and then it changes and you're like,
it messed me up because, first of all, because Lisa's home all the time now, so it's like I forget that I have an agenda and go, okay, well, if we work, then we do this. And believe me, trying to prep for the show with your wife in front of you who wants to be chatty is...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
As it is. But then I was like, she's like, maybe you should leave early to make it there in time, blah, blah, blah.
I'm
like,
oh, my God. I had the same conversation this morning with my wife because she was home.
So this was yesterday.
She was sick, but...
So I made it all the way, you know, on my way in. But when I realized I couldn't get across under 59 and across Richmond and Westheimer, couldn't get anywhere near the station, that's when Nick and I were talking and I warned him and then I headed back. When I headed back, I was like, I had this whole list of things I was going to do. Nope. Don't get stuck in a storm with a pregnant woman either, because I want to get on the treadmill. I want to do this. I want to do that. She starts throwing bags of popcorn at me going, hey, babe, let's just watch some of the coverage. Here's a bag of popcorn and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah. And I go, and then Nick, thankfully.
What station did y'all watch?
Oh, we flipped all over. Because she's just, you know, she's wanting to see every bit of coverage from every station.
I was who's not doing expecting it well, that who's answer. Not.
Oh, yeah. We watched everything.
I get you. I got you, because she's critiquing it.
And seeing, yeah.
I got you.
And then, thank God, like,
that
I gave Nick
too,
the
Nick?
Heads up to turn around, because he was behind me, and I knew that he was heading into a crap storm.
Uh-huh.
And then I was at home for like an hour, and I saw I missed a call from Nick, and I called him back. I said, did I miss? And he goes, yeah. He goes, bro, my buddy is having a problem getting his kid from school. You might want to get Taylor now. And I was like, you know what? I probably should. And if I didn't go when Nick told me to, Taylor would have been probably stranded at school, and I would have had, I probably had no way to get her.
Oh, wow.
And we made it back before it kept, because all the side streets in Sugarland and everything were just, they were awful.
I could see it slowly moving, and I was like, oh, this isn't good. It was about 9 o'clock when it unloaded up north at Casa del Laminack. And I was like, yep. This is going to be bad.
Yeah.
At one point, and I kind of, I got the rain gauge. And so I was like, all right, we got like four something inches yesterday. And then at one point, we got 4 inches in like 20 minutes. And I was like, ooh, that's a lot of rain in a short amount of time. All told, in about 24 hours, we got 14 inches at the house. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a lot at one time. That's the problem. If it keeps moving, it's always a better situation. But
boy,
when you have all that in that short window. Thing,
it was the same for me, the same feeling, the same nervousness as Harvey. The difference was is that with Harvey, the Spring Creek that's like right across, right near my house, was already out of its banks and the rain was still coming. So fortunately, that didn't happen. So the ditches were able to just move all the water to Spring Creek. So we never really, my front yard wasn't really in danger like it was during Harvey, but the backyard started creeping up.
Mine, when you get from the street into my driveway, I realized when I was backing out to go get Taylor that it was already up to almost the top of the wheels. The street was really bad. And I was like, Damn. Oh, I got to haul rear end because otherwise this is just only going to get worse. And then what's really, I'm with you with the way I felt. But then when I pulled the car back in and I looked on my driveway, my backyard was starting to fill up at a rapid rate.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not normal. And I realized that my back drain that takes it all to the street was backing up and it was clogged. And I'm like, if that doesn't open up, I could be in some real trouble with the water getting close to the house. So I literally grabbed like one of those utility plungers that has the shape with the small opening. They're kind of like an accordion.
Yeah.
And I was on the drain and pumping trying to it. Open that thing up. And back. And that's what really scared me. But we talk about 14 or 15 or 16 inches. Then you look at where we go for remotes and Winnie. And in that area,
my heart
they were talking
broken
20
for the
to 40 inches.
Yeah, some places got 43 inches of rain in 24 to 36 hours. Just seeing it on the news yesterday, my heart was just broken for everybody in the Golden Triangle, especially our listeners. We've got so many friends, and it was just sad, dude. Just a sad, sad time. A lot of people that were just now getting back into their house after Harvey are flooded again. And same thing in Kingwood. The whole Kingwood area was just decimated with rain as well.
I checked on a few of them. Some of them made way to Louisiana before it got too bad. Some of them just held tight. So I think TJ held tight. TJ, who was at
most of the good, listeners now, of course, obviously priorities. So if you're on Twitter, chances are you're not flooding. But I think everybody that either checked on us or just kind of was chatty on Twitter said that they were okay, but that it was bad. And that's I always hate hearing that.
Shout out to the suspects, because I had sent out, the first thought in my mind when I woke up yesterday was, I'm thinking about the people in the 409, because you could see it was coming their way, and they were in the middle of just a complete hellstorm. Then Chance McClain, friend of the station, friend of the show, had said, he gave out a lady's address and said, I got a nine-month-old, the water's already all over my first floor, I need help. And so I retweeted it and said, any of the suspects in this area available? Well, shout out to Drew Barnes, who was at our remote.
Uh-huh.
Drew had a truck. Lauren Pope got involved. Everybody started working with each other until the people and the family got safe.
That's cool.
And I was like, kind of really, really neat stuff that happens when you've got great people like we have listening to this show. So
Cajun Navy came back to Houston. Yeah. They had to. Thank goodness for them. Man, it was wild. It was Harvey all over again for a lot of areas of town. And I was like, I felt awful, because you almost feel guilty in a way sometimes when you see this, because you're okay. And you know, like, we didn't really, all things considered, it wasn't really a close call for us. There was water in my backyard, but it was never, you know. And then you see people just losing everything again, and you're just like, oh, my God, when does this stop? And then I started, the one thing that was kind of interesting yesterday is David Tillman on ABC 13, great weather guy. I think he does a great job, and I remember him during Harvey doing a fantastic job as well. But he said something that made sense, and because a lot of us, and I've seen tweets, and it's just like, when is enough going to be enough for the city? When are we going to fix the problems that caused this flooding? And we've done that on the show where we're just like, what is it going to take? We have all these other things. How come we can't solve this? And he said something that kind of rung true with me, or hit home with me. And he was on air and he just said, look, you know, we always talk about the fact that Houston floods. He was like, because of our poor drainage. He said, no, this city gets more events like this than any other city in this country. Period. Look at the numbers. We get more, you know, double-digit rain events than any other city. Most cities aren't built to be able to handle this kind of rain. He said, I don't care what city it is and how good their drainage is. No city would be able to handle the amount of rainfall we've had in this short amount of time. So it's not always the fact that we just flood. It's how much water we get. And it just seems like we do have all these rain events. So it kind of made sense where it was like, all right, well, maybe we shouldn't bitch as much.
Well, it's also the unpredictability. You can predict only so much with the Doppler and the numbers and everything like that. You can't predict if a storm decides to slow down.
Yeah.
And that was like you were talking about. Initially, that's why there wasn't all the panic and thoughts of evacuation and stocking up the house, because it looked like it was going to miss us to the east. But because it slowed down, and in the rotation, when it slowed down, it drifted to the west a little bit. Houston got dead center in the middle of all of it, and then it changes everything. So, you know, I the other thing that I even heard Fred and AJ talking about the day before the storm was the fact that because it's so hot here, we don't realize that we still get a ton of rain, too. And so, you know, the combination of all those kind of things, it's tough, man.
I thought his point, though, was really good. And because I that was my thought while this is happening. It's not, again, when are we going to fix this? And then he said that, and I was like, wow, I didn't really think about it like that. I didn't realize that. I didn't understand how much rain we actually get compared to the rest of the country and this area in southeast Texas. So, but, you know, again, hats off to the first responders and everybody out there that was helping people. Did you see the rescue of the 18-wheeler driver on Channel 13? I think it was 13 or 11. I don't remember which.
It was 11.
Did you see it?
I was talking to Nick about it before the show.
Why?
Because it was a joke.
It was a joke?
The way it was handled.
By who?
By Channel 11. Was...
You're talking about the one, so the guy in an 18-wheeler drives into the water.
Yep.
Then a guy sees that the cab is filling up, jumps down there with a hammer, busts open the windshield, gets the guy out. I don't know how he got back on the bridge to pull him up, but then they pull him up. I guess it was with the ropes or whatever.
Well, they used a caution tape and they used the
belts.
No,
it wasn't a caution tape. It was like
the moving belts for the backs of a truck with the belts on, with the little seat belts on it.
Yeah.
And they got him up. And first of all, we're like, interview the guy. The minute he gets over the edge.
It was an awful interview.
Yeah, interview. And so she not only doesn't interview him, but she lets him walk over, start talking to the sheriff, talk to the guys that helped. And you know, of course, Lisa's going, interview him. Because this is like, people win Emmys because of this. Just see what he was thinking, talk to him. But then when she did interview him,
it was terrible.
She made fun of him.
She
first,
did?
Yeah. First, she goes, Lennon Mia, look at this right here, because there's just a sliver of dry. So you knew what he was looking at. He decided to go into it anyway. And I'm like, oh, great. The guy already feels horrible, but now you're just like making him.
Guys, I'm here with stupid McDummy pants. Yeah. Like, what?
So then when she does interview him, she's like, what were you thinking when you decided that that was a good idea? And the
That's
guy's
a legit
already
question.
Shaking and everything like that.
There's nothing wrong with that question, though. What the hell were you thinking? She's lucky. He's lucky she didn't drop a hell on him. What the hell were you thinking driving through this?
I'm not done.
Okay.
So then he's all, you can tell he's shaking. He's like, I'm okay. Thank you very much. But, you know, I was just trying to get my truck where it needed to go and stuff like that. And she goes, well, what was so important in the back of your truck? You had to get it there. What's in the back of that? And he goes, nothing. And she goes, nothing. Did you hear that? Nothing in the back of the truck. And I'm going,
I know, I saw the whole thing.
Slow down now.
But here's the problem, because he lied. He said I had an important load that I had to get to its destination.
So it means he had to pick it up.
But he made it sound like it was already in there, and that's why he had to plow through it. So she goes, oh, well, what was the important load? He goes, nothing. It was empty. She goes, what? Because he just said I had an important, so it was like, oh, bro, you're just admit it. You just did. You're a dumbass. Just admit it. That was stupid. He's lucky that that dude was there. That they interviewed on the bridge. I was like,
oh boy,
he's gangster looking
too.
But he was
all
nice.
Over his chest
nice as could be, man.
But here's the other thing: as a member of the media, because you're not supposed to have any judgment, right? You're just supposed to cover what's going on.
Come on.
But then she was tweeting about it, right? And Facebooking it.
Oh, really?
She started the Facebook with, oh, snap. He decided to run through the... And I'm like, no! And
what's
people
wrong with a little personality?
Killing her on the comment section.
What's wrong with a little personality?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
What? What's wrong with the, oh, snap? That would be exactly how I started a Facebook post about something like that.
Okay.
I don't know. Hey guys, if you haven't already, do yourself a favor, check out GetUpside. This, you're going to love this app, and let me tell you why, man. This app gets you cash back for stuff you're already paying for, like gas and like food. It's almost like saving money, but it's your money, so you're really just getting it back. And it's been featured on ABC 13, so they've talked about how great GetUpside is. And I don't know if you're using it yet, and if you haven't, man, go right now in your app store, iTunes or Google Play, and put it in, download. It's all one word, GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. And then when you go fill up at a gas station, you're going to get cash back. Here's how simple it is. You go open up the app, you pull up the map, you find a gas station in your area that's offering cash back. You choose that savings or that cash back offer. You go there, you fill up, you pay with a debit card or credit card, upload your receipt through the app by just taking a picture of it and hitting upload. Super easy. And then within 24 hours, you get that amount back that you chose as far as claiming that offer. So if it was 25 cents, which you can get up to 25 cents every time, but with that promo code Barry, you could get even more. So like my wife got 30. So if you put 20 gallons of gas at 30 cents a gallon, hey, that's $6 back. If somebody walked up to you and said, here's $6 while you're pumping gas, I promise you, you're going to take it. So do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside. Be like me, be like Nick, be like AJ, be like a ton of people that work here at Gal Media and a ton of listeners that are already getting cash back. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry, start getting that cash back, and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Trying to get a mess, get some money. And I want money, man, because I've been poor like for a long time. I know you f***ers see me on BET and I've done some shit, but don't let that fool you, people. I still got cosigners and my caller ID says out of area. I don't answer that shit either, bro. That shit says unavailable. I'm unavailable too then. Don't answer that shit.
Comedian of the Week, Juan Villarreal. As Barry will give you a little bit of a backstory because it is an FEF Friday. F's for funny, and there's our guy for today, Juan Villarreal.
We may have a double dose, but yeah, first and foremost, Juan Villarreal. I tried to get him in yesterday. Obviously, we didn't have a show and other things, but I wanted to feature him this week because after 27 years in the comedy game, Juan Villarreal, a guy who has pretty much done it all, toured with the best of the best. I think he's been on BET's Comic View more than any other comedian in history.
Wow.
Yeah, and after 27 years in the game, he's filming his first special. It's going down this Sunday at the Houston Improv. There has never been a special filmed at the Houston Improv. So not only is it the first special being filmed in Houston at the Improv, Juan Villarreal, Houston's own, who has been Houston's own, he stayed here, he never left, and he didn't, and a lot of comics do once they start making it. But he's got that happening this Sunday, so I want to encourage everybody. There's some tickets left. I think there's less than maybe 75 tickets left before it sells out. Okay. Go support one of your own. This is a big deal. This is very important, and I think having the place packed and ready to laugh is huge.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to feature him this week and promote this. Dude's great. Remember when I told the story about the heckler that I told to S his son's D and all that?
Yep.
It was Juan that had my back during that time when people were waiting for me outside. And it was also Juan that pulled me aside and said, bro, you can't be telling people that. So Juan's a great dude, man. He's always positive, and he's hilarious, that first and foremost. So I just wanted to support Juan this week and encourage everybody that can to get out there and go to the Improv this Sunday for sure and check him out.
You know, you can get in on that pattern still. It's not too late.
What?
Houston comedians that get out of town.
Okay, see.
I mean, they can get on their way to do their thing and get their career elevated.
Yeah, and but also this weekend, Brendan Schaub is in town at Friday and Saturday. And I hosted for Brendan last time he was here. Well, he's at the station today filming or recording the Whiskey Neat podcast. So we're efforting to get Brendan Schaub on the show today. So we'll have a 2-for-1. The F stands for 4. 2-for-1. I don't know. All right. That was a reach. But hopefully we can get Brendan on here as well and talk a little comedy and see what he's been up to since last he was here.
That's awesome. Had and we've got other guests. So our hotel guy, Steve's going to be in today to talk about the Texans going to L.A. to take on the Chargers and some spots you might not be aware of. Then we're going to have Sarah Barshop covering the Texans, yep, getting ready for the big game as well, as she'll break down everything that's been happening over at NRG as the team gets ready to head out to sunny Southern California and get ready for that game, which could be a big one because the Chargers are suffering a little bit and have some injuries. Texans hopefully can get right against the Chargers team and take advantage of that. So all those and possibly Brandon Schaub, that's a great, great combination for a Friday, as a lot of you were very upset that we were not in yesterday.
Feel the love.
And the fear was that Stephen A. was going to be taking over the slot, which really had some people fired up.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Twitter and otherwise.
I would have thought that when you heard that it wasn't us, that everyone assumed it was just a weather day and that we'd be back.
Well, and we were tweeting it, so we were trying to let everybody know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was people losing their mind, like, what the, how the.
It was nice to get the positive reinforcement that, man, we really missed the show yesterday and look forward to having you guys back. That was nice to hear. We appreciate all the
absolutely
love.
Right. Of and course. So the support is always appreciated. So we love you guys, and that was awesome. So we're glad to be back today. And I mean, one day. So that's all it was, and we're back. But he's not here to stay. We are.
Nicholas, you didn't say what happened at Casa del Sharara. Was there any craziness?
No, man. I have been super lucky throughout this whole situation. So as people were getting a lot of water, I mean, there was a lot of rain. There were some puddles, but for the most part, I did not. I mean, I'm not like, I probably shouldn't say this, but the first thing, when I realized that we were off air, I was like, I want some wings. That's the only thing I want right now. And video games. Like, it was Wayne's was my first thought.
Yeah.
Video games was my second
thought. That was the thing. I spent half the day on Pornhub. And then I was looking for games. I really couldn't find anything.
You were looking for games on Pornhub?
No.
Oh.
I really couldn't find anything I wanted to play. I think I've played everything that's out. So I started asking people.
I saw that. What did you end up playing again?
Nothing yet. I just couldn't. I'm it's between Spider-Man.
2 months, 1 underwear. That's what he was playing.
I hate your face. You know what? Just for that comment, I actually.
That's what he was playing.
No, don't try to get out of it now. You just stick to your guns. Draw your line in the sand.
Oh, you just
Joel.
Want to see where this is
Be
going.
Be a man.
Yeah,
Be really a man, Joel.
Yeah, he does.
Be a man. Stand
it's really,
firm.
It's really
Play
a shout out for a listener more than anything else.
Okay.
So when I wanted those wings and, I ended up getting it from a spot that I always go to. Had some beers. A guy actually
had
one of the listeners recognize me. His name is Ben.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why he was so cool, he was like, you know what, Nick? I mean, the reason why I would, like, in Houston, I would recognize you. I would recognize Barry. I wouldn't recognize Joel because he just sounds like an average white guy that lives in the Heights.
Cool.
So shout out to Ben.
That's outstanding.
Yeah, he literally said
shut
that.
Shut up, Ben, or shout out to Ben? I was just curious. Because I've got a different interpretation of what you just
totally
said.
Totally shout out. Total shout out to Ben.
Ben Hurst, who was it?
It was Ben. I've never. He was very educated about the station.
At least you could recognize him like he recognized you. Okay.
Well, do you know how hard it is? There's only three of us. There's thousands of them. It's hard to keep up with all the listeners as opposed to them having to keep up
evidently,
with three of us.
It's hard to keep up with the three of us. Just two of you guys.
No, it's just one of us that's hard to keep up with. Yeah. The average white guy from the Heights. That's pretty funny. That's oddly specific, too. I don't know why he was so
I don't know why he said it that way. He's like, I would recognize you, Nick. I would recognize Barry. But Joel just sounds like an average white guy that lives in the Heights. I was like, okay.
I'm going to have to set higher aspirations for myself now so that others can take it in and maybe change their perception.
That's funny. So
he was educated, man. He knew Raheel, he knew Dell, he knew John, he knew Lance.
Cool.
He's been on the Gulf Coast. Lance's sponsor is a Chevy.
Oh yeah.
The dealership. Yeah. So he actually listens to the station.
Finding new roads.
In its entirety. He's like a real listener. So
nice. What'd you say?
Finding new roads. Gulf Coast.
See.
Chevy.
See. Don't.
Chevy.
That's funny that he's doing this.
Joel Blank.
And not Barry. I know.
Yeah.
We've Joel all make heard clear. The Jose Altuve bumpers.
That was the voice of Joel Blank.
Absolutely.
Doing Jose Altuve.
Joel Blank.
Not Nick Sherrara, not Barry Labanack. Send your letters and angry tweets and emails.
Ha! I was waiting for a time to get you. Now I got you. I'm the hammer, and I'm taking you.
Too late. Don't try to save it.
You gave me my senor, and I'm going to get you for more. Hammered him.
You're just covering now.
No. Saying what could happen. It's conceivable now. There's an opening.
I want to tell the people about my bookie, y'all. Football season is here. Hey, by the way, I put out my picks already. I did it early. I've been waiting and doing it on Sunday. But if you want them, they're out there. App area is funny. But look, man, if you're not betting, you need to get on that because it's a lot of fun and you can make some money. And if you're going to, I highly encourage you to sign up with MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Guys, it's super important that when you're betting online, that you do so with a company that's going to give you your money back when you ask for it. And that's what MyBookie does. Nobody pays out faster than MyBookie. That is the number one. Besides the fact that they have odds on every game, more prop bets than any other sports book, the thing I love most about them is when you want your money back, you get your money back. And nobody pays out faster than MyBookie. So you get your cash when you want it. And that's super important when you're betting online. And, you know, their slogan is bet, win, and get paid. And, you know, it's up to you how much you want to bet, and your picks better be good if you want to win. But if you do both of those well and you want to get paid, it's mybookie.ag all the way. You can parlay your picks, turn something small into a huge profit because you can bet after kickoff. A lot of people don't know that, but yeah, with mybookie.ag, you can get action on games after kickoff as well. So don't feel bad if you missed it. All you got to do is log into mybookie.ag and sign up, and you can get action right there. Don't bet with a no-name sports book. I don't want you doing that. And look, if you're going to sign up and you're going to be smart like I hope you are, when you do so, they're going to double your first deposit. That's right. MyBookie is going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money. You can put it where you can wager it on whatever team you want to wager it on. All you got to do is use promo code radio. So go do that right now. MyBookie.ag. Sign up. Put in promo code radio. Get that exclusive double your money offer. It's MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, rolling through the second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Never like getting a text from my wife that says, what died in my car? It's one of those deals where, and Nick, you're the car guy, but I think it's one of those deals where when you drive through somewhat high water, and it didn't get through the doors or anything like that, but I think sometimes for a day or two, because of all that water,
yeah,
you can get that kind of
moldy,
musty smell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully it goes away over time, you know?
Either that or, yeah. I got to go to the car wash and get a whole thing of that new car smell and just pelt it.
Yeah. Eric Resendez said, I was listening yesterday thinking, damn, Pac-Man Joel got really good at his Stephen A. Smith voice. Good to have you guys back. Really rough day in Beaumont. A lot of cleaning up to do. Yeah, man. I just hate it. I hate it for everybody out there. It just
we were just there.
Sucks. Yeah, man. My heart breaks, man. Somebody sent me a picture of the water was up to the bottom of a traffic light at an intersection. It's just heartbreaking, man. So I hope everybody out there is safe. And I know that that doesn't help much, but I know there's a lot of loss out there as far as property and money. But I hope that everybody is safe at least.
That's the first thing. Because the first thing I saw on the news was when they were talking about Beaumont, and I had seen Barry's picture about the water up to the traffic light, and they said all the streets that were going to be really, really in severe danger, and Calder was on there. And yeah. I'm like, man. That's,
Calder Avenue. Yeah.
Calder Avenue has been where we've been, and that hit me hard. I was like, no, man, there's such good people down there. So we appreciate all that you that were trying to help others. And like Barry said, the main thing is we just hope you all are safe. And if you've got your health, you can get through everything else. Mm. So, okay. So with that being said, we've got basically 2 days to make up for. But Astros back at it tonight against the Angels. But while you were flooding, lots of things were happening.
Well.
So from the standpoint of the Astros, we know that they have the best record in baseball. We know that the Yankees, on the positive side,
won the AL East for the first time since 2012. On the negative side, we had mentioned that Dellin Betances had partially torn his Achilles and that he would not be available for the playoffs. Now, it looks like they're going to be without a starting pitcher, too, as Herman,
mm-hmm.
Domestic violence, they're investigating. The news came out yesterday that he would be away from the team while they were investigating. Now it comes out today in the last 2 hours that he is done for the year.
Yep.
That's a big loss for them. He won 17 games this season.
I heard ridiculously, but I heard Ken Hoffman trying to make the case for him being in the Cy Young discussion because of wins and whatnot. And Herman has had a good year, but it, a little ridiculous to try to put him into the Cy Young discussion based on what Cole and Verlander have done. But that's not to take away from what he's done on the field. Now, off the field is a completely different story. But 18 wins says Yeah, 18 wins says a lot for what he's done. And, of course, with all the injuries that they've had as well. Only four losses, so pretty impressive. But, yeah, that's going to be a big blow for them. You know, we talked about Dellin Betances on Wednesday, that they got him back for all of two outs before losing him again. So you just, man, if you're Aaron Boone, you're just, what else could happen this year? So I feel awful. And I'm not a Yankees. I'm a Yankees hater. I just am.
I've
always been. Loved Jeter, hated the Yankees. But I feel bad for that baseball team because that could be the Astros. And I'm not so sure that the Astros would be as still have 100 wins if they went through the same amount of injuries to the same kinds of stars. At least they've had, you know, some anchors in the middle. Because you've had guys step up on the Yankees, you know, like LeMahieu. And that's carried them.
Well, think about that. Not just LeMahieu, but when they every time they go into their farm system, they pull up a guy that's just absolute Gleyber Torres. And all the different guys that they pulled up from the farm system stepped up when they stepped in to help them out. So, but you mentioned Aaron Boone. And
Brett Gardner's having a crazy
year. God, yeah. When he's not beating the hell out of the roof of the dugout over strikes and balls, he's still doing it.
Urshela has played well at third as well. I mean, just...
Urshela, yeah.
Yeah.
Herman, though, 18-4, 4.03 ERA, 153 strikeouts and 143 innings. But here's what Brett Boone did say about that, Aaron Boone, and I give him credit. Because as a manager, you could be upset.
Yep.
And you could be really thinking about what this could do for your team because he's not only done for the rest of the regular season, he's done for the playoffs. And his quote was, this is something that, baseball aside, is a bigger issue, obviously. When you hear the words domestic violence, it's one of those things that stops you in your tracks. And I give Major League Baseball and the Players Association credit for doing their part several years ago, trying to be ahead of the game, putting into disciplinary action in place, hopefully being a part of the solution to what is a problem in our society. That's a big time statement from a manager that could be very upset and questioning and saying, let's let the, you know, but for him to say it like that, there's obviously something there. And I think they're handling it the right way.
Yeah, I think it's the right thing to do, too, to come out and err on the side of caution. And, you know, I'm sure he added at some point, we'll let the process play out. But it's the right thing to do and come out and take that stance on it.
Yeah.
By the way, let's just, I mean, we can, Cole, congratulations to Cole on getting his 300 strikeouts and. Boy, this Cy Young race is just silly at this point.
It really
is. Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And the other thing is, shout out to the Astros for becoming only, the sixth or seventh team in the history of Major League Baseball. Three straight 100-win seasons, which is fantastic, and it shows you how far they've come and how great their front office is in the way they've put together and kept this team together for the last several years. But yeah, you and I, at the start of the year, I don't think that when we make our predictions, I don't think either one of us could have thought that it was going to be so cut and dried, one or the other. Stats are mirroring each other. Guys going down the stretch, just mowing people down. And if you're an Astros fan, you couldn't be any happier.
I mean, listen to this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So, game started 32. So, I'm going to read you Verlander's first and Cole second on all these numbers. Mm-hmm. Game started 32-31. Quality starts 25 each. Wins 19-18. Losses 6-5. Innings pitched 212-200. Hits 127-136. Earned runs 59-58. Home runs 34-28.
You know who that is, yeah.
Walks 40 for Verlander, 46 for Cole. So Verlander has given up more home runs, less walks. Strikeouts, obviously, Cole with the 300 versus Verlander's 283. Strikeouts per nine, 12-13. I mean, their numbers are literally identical. ERA 250 to 261. A whip. Well, the whip is pretty far apart. 0.79 to 0.91. That's a lot in whip.
Yeah, yeah.
But even their WAR, 7.7 for Verlander, 6.1 for Cole. This is just crazy. The numbers that they're putting up and the fact that both of them are on the same team is just unbelievable.
Oh, no doubt about it. And here's the thing to me. The more I'm watching all of this, and you know, Astros fans may or may not be with me on this, but and the way he thanked the fans, normally a pitcher won't do something like that in the middle of a game, and you know, it's tougher to get. And he's thanking the fans in the middle of the game, and you can see the dialogue. He sits with A.J. Hinch and Verlander and even Grinke, and I'm going, God, if there was any way to hang on to this guy, he just seems like he's so Houston. And the dominance that this team has offensively, it's not even close to what it could be in terms have in terms of the dominance with the rotation. And if there's a way to keep this guy, I would do everything in my power to try and make it happen because he's the right fit. And to have those two power guys at the front of your rotation, and there are ways. I mean, Charlie put out a video yesterday, and I was kind of with him. You know, if you can find a home for Reddick, there's 15 of it. And then, you know, and again, the other thing is we don't know. Jim Crane has always put his money where his mouth was once they started getting to the point of competing for championships. If there was a way to just kind of adjust some things, I would love to see this guy stay with this team because the dominating factor that is that rotation is really meaningful. Forget if they're both in the Cy Young conversation or not. But when you're talking about playoff series in baseball and you put two guys, it's one thing to be an effective pitcher like Zach Greinke. It's another thing to have the domination of that lively fastball in the upper 90s as well as all the other things. It's special, man.
You know what's funny is you look it up. I was looking up a WAR for their pitchers, for pitchers. And Justin Verlander has a 7.7 WAR, and that's still not the best in baseball. So behind him is Lance Lynn, Eduardo Rodriguez, and then Gerrit Cole. So 7.7, 6.8, 6.2, 6.1. Mike Minor has a 7.9 WAR, which is 0.2 ahead of Justin Verlander. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. When you look at their numbers, he's won 13 games versus Verlander's 19. His ERA is damn near a full point more at 3.3 versus 2.5. WHIP is 1.2 versus 0.79. There's no reason that it would make sense that his WAR would be higher than Verlander's. But one of the things I started reading about was when you consider that the quality of opponents that they faced, Minor has faced tougher opponents. Prime example is he's had to face the Astros, whereas Verlander has never had to face the Astros. Yeah. He faces the Rangers. And so when you're on the best team, your WAR is going to suffer slightly because you don't have to face the best team. So I found that to be kind of interesting from a stats geek's perspective that not only is Mike Minor ahead of Verlander in what the de facto stat for overall effectiveness and greatness.
And lefty
WAR.
Not overpowering as opposed to what I was talking about.
Only
with 188 Cole and Verlander.
Strikeouts.
Yeah,
he's
with the way that they absolutely blow it by you whenever they want.
Yeah, I mean, so, Cole and Verlander, he's got a higher WAR than both. That's just crazy to me, but that's how, you know, that wins above replacement. So I guess when you're on a bad team and you're winning, your wins above replacement might be higher than when you're on a good team. So
yeah,
all pretty interesting stuff. There was one other thing I wanted to bring up in baseball.
Yankees, by the way, home tonight for Toronto while the Astros take on the Angels. So that's where we were talking about where the schedule is kind of loosened up a little bit for the Astros. So they'll probably take advantage of it.
Don't look now, but your Cleveland Indians 8-2 clawing back into the wild card. I think they look like they might overtake the Rays. Rays are scuffling a little bit.
Ain't over till it's over.
No.
See? But by the way, we did pretty good picking this year in terms of certain things that we pointed out.
Did we?
Well, because just like that, when we broke down who the wild card teams would be, and the Cy Young with those two guys, things like that. So sometimes you might want to tune into the suspects for some knowledge.
Yeah, every once in a while.
And then there's Nick.
Blind squirrel finds a nut.
Speaking of Nick, we want to talk about his alma mater, too, and the fact that, boy, with a turkey of a game on Thursday night, I thought that that was one hell of a first half by the Cougs. But that's why they play a full game and not just a half. We'll talk about it next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Get out your seat and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump up and get down.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the first hour of the show, it is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. We'll take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Everybody should be present and accounted for and ready to go after yesterday's festivities. So we appreciate you guys listening. By the way, special shout out to my wife. It is our 5th year anniversary today. So happy anniversary, honey. I love you. And I put that out there this morning first thing so I didn't get my ears reamed. But no, I wanted to make sure that I got that out before we get too far in the show.
Or do y'all go out to dinner? Do you buy presents for each other? Anything special for anniversaries?
Because of the fact that we are so close to having this baby and mm-hmm. she has got the lift kit and all the different things she's got going right. on, we'll probably order something and it'll, or I'll okay. go get, you know, pick up like dessert she wants or something like that. But yeah, I mean, we've just had so much going on that we basically said this year we'll kind of take a pass.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Otherwise, you mean, look, Taylor's all over it and it was nice this morning, especially with her being home. But, yeah, for the most part, it's like, yeah, we got a bunch going on. Like, gosh. My buddy is coming over tomorrow, uh-huh. and, like, I get to play hoops in the morning, and then my entire day with all those great college football games is going to be nothing but mommy, I guess, baby-proof in the house and moving certain things to certain rooms and resetting up, like, nurseries and
you gotta do
building
all
cribs and building dressers. And I get, yeah, I got to re... You know, when Taylor got into her own bed, I took all the cribs and disassembled them, put them away in the garage and all that stuff. And she's like, now I want one crib there and one crib on the second floor. Then we have, like, because she's the C-section, we have those electronically reclining recliners uh-huh. so she can sleep in it because of the incision and all uh-huh. that. Well, they're awesome. Nick's seen them. They're big leather recliners. So when we were done with them with the pregnancy, I was like, oh, those are going in the media room. Because in the man cave, guys are going to like fall asleep now watching football. That. Now she's like, now I want one of those on the first floor. Oh. And then the other one. I was like, oh,
bro, God, you just need to get a handmade. Make it a lot easier.
I got a lot to do.
Have you seen that show, The Handmaid's Tale?
Nope.
Oh, you got to watch that. That's a good-ass TV show. Highly recommend anyone out there that hasn't watched The Handmaid's Tale. It's on Hulu. It's a really good show. It's about like this, I want to say, it's not post-apocalyptic, but it's like this, America gets taken over by this faction of people. They overthrow the government and create their own government called Gilead. And they believe, so apparently in this particular time when the story takes place, people are not able to have babies normally, so the human race is slowly dying because they can't produce babies like they should. So then this Gilead takes over and they use the Bible as the basis of their religion and their government, and they say that they basically, it's an all male dominated society. Women have specific roles that they play. One of those roles is a handmaid whose sole job is to have babies. So every guy is assigned, not every guy, a lot of the commanders and stuff are assigned handmaids, and most of them, for whatever reason, you know, whether it's the male or the female, can't have a baby. So they assume that it's the female's fault. So the men just have sex with these handmaids in hopes of getting them pregnant. And then if they do get pregnant and have the baby, the mom, the wife still treats it like they call it their baby. Like it's crazy. You gotta watch it.
I don't
it.
Have Hulu, so I mean, I do, but I haven't really activated
the stuff that they do. Like the writing is really good. The writing is outstanding. The acting is even better. The twists and the turns that happen in the show. We're on season 3 of 3, and we're about 3 or 4 episodes into season 3. I tell you, this is one of my favorite shows of all time already. It's that good. So if you need something to binge watch, highly recommend The Handmaid's Tale.
I was going to say, because the real life aspect of that ain't happening. But, I already know that.
No, it's great, because then like when in The Handmaid's Tale, so the wife sits on the bed and holds the handmaid's arms, but it's like she's in between her legs. So then it's like an extension of her when they're having sex. Bro, it's,
when that kid comes out looking like the handmaid, there's no more extensions necessary because that's going to be cut off. So, yeah, no, that's
it's
not
a wild, it's a wild premise.
Yeah.
But it's a really good show. And at first when Nora was like, let's watch this, people are saying it's good, I was like, that sounds stupid. The Handmaid's Tale sounds like something out of, you know, Britain, that it would be a boring like show about some British maid that Hello. Like Downton Abbey or something. Yeah, yeah, I have no interest in watching, but it's not. It's really good. So
okay.
Highly recommend it.
So, Nick, did you peep your Cougars last night?
Oh,
I did.
Boy.
Because, boy, people were gloating in the first half last night. They were, what? Look at the point spread, the Cougs and the points. And, oh, yeah. And they were up big. And then, holy second half collapse.
Right when they pulled within one touchdown, I actually remember telling Ben, the listener, the suspect, I said, this looks like they're giving up this game. They're not just going to give up the lead. They're going to give up this game. They're going to lose. I didn't expect it. I almost said it in hopes of it not working, you know, like in hopes
like
of the game.
Jinx.
Reverse, yeah.
Yeah.
But, no. I mean, if you lose – first of all, shout out to the quarterback, Justin, with the fake kneel. Yeah.
Justin McMillan, yeah.
Amazing job playing that. I mean, it completely looked like he had the ball. It completely looked like he was going to kneel. And he gave it up to that running back. I think his name was Amari.
The victory formation one. Yeah, that was a.
Because it was the 18. I mean, obviously the 53 yard pass was huge, but that 18 yard run was huge for them.
Yeah.
The play before that, and so good. Look, shout out to them, man. They fantastic acting job. I think that 18 yard rush absolutely killed it. I know the 53 yard is yarders.
It's the key to the whole thing. If it doesn't work, or it somehow is unsuccessful, and he only gets a couple yards,
exactly,
they're going to overtime.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, and U of H was gassed. And like I said, when we were talking about the Cougs a week or so back, Dana's got to get his recruits in there. You got to give him a year or two to get his recruiting classes in there, to get his kind of players that he wants in there. Because, man, I'll tell you this, not only were they gassed, but that defensive line, now that Ed Oliver's gone, is just getting steamrolled on every rushing play.
325 yards rushing allowed.
I'm surprised Tulane didn't just
keep
running it.
As a team, the Cougs rushed for 304 and still got outgained.
Yeah.
That tells you how bad they are at stopping the run. By a Tulane team, which... First of all, I will admit I stopped watching after the first half because I was like, well, this is probably what everyone expected. This is what I expected. And now I'm pissed that I didn't watch the second half. Second of all, why is the green wave wearing blue? I don't understand that.
They went back to their throwback days when that was one of their main colors.
So they were still wearing blue as the green wave?
Yeah.
I actually like the uniform.
They have green and light blue.
I thought they were nice, but I'm wondering why you're the green wave and you're not wearing green
color
or green
water
and white. Berry.
Normally they're green.
So, you know, I mean, the green wave,
the wave
and the water. Just,
I'm okay
just so
with you
know.
Making fun of Tulane, so proceed.
I'm but, just Nick, do you know who Tulane's head coach is?
Be like I the saw. Red Sox wearing not red socks. I don't understand that. Go ahead.
You know who Tulane's head coach is?
Uh-uh.
Lanny Fritz's dad.
Oh, really?
But they called her
They called
his
her
wife.
His wife after the game.
Oh, no.
Evidently, it was her birthday, and she's wearing, like, a little sash that says, birthday girl. And
oh,
they go into this,
wow. Really?
Yeah, and they go into this long thing about
boy,
how
that is the epitome of attention.
The coach's wife's birthday, okay. But if they won, they were going to have cake pops and this and that. And they show him, like, two or three times and kept saying, there he is with his wife. And then finally someone must have gotten in their ear, and they were like, oh, well, I guess he's going to be celebrating with his daughter and his wife. Yeah.
Isn't it a little much to be wearing a birthday sash? Can we just
no doubt
talk about this
hey, bro,
for a second?
Your dad is the head
I don't
coach.
Care.
You get privileges.
I don't
you get
care.
To be on the field.
The only thing
and
worse,
you get camera time.
The only thing worse than pinning dollar bills to your shirt all day and just being just some begging ass birthday person.
Shocker that Lanny Fritz got camera time.
A birthday sash? Lanny Fritz is definitely, it's my birthday week. No, you get a day. We've discussed this already. That you stop it with the birthday weeks. Stop it. It didn't take any of y'all a week to fall out of your mom's Virginia. You don't get a birthday week. You get a day, period. And no sashes, no dollars on the shirts. I don't know why we have to cover this all the time. This is very simple stuff, people.
Okay.
Drives me nuts.
I would think that the end of that game drove a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
That
sorry,
was a
U of
tough
H.
one to take. So, yeah, the Cougs, looks like they're going to have a
sadly,
struggle this year.
Sadly, their one win this year was against Prairie View.
Yeah. Well,
when
at
you
least
look
they
at
got
the
Texas
schedule.
State next.
I mean, don't hold your breath. And, no, it's North Texas, right? Yeah, North Texas.
Or North Texas.
Oh,
okay,
it's
yeah.
the, and it's the Mean Green, so they'll probably also be wearing blue. Stupid. Makes no sense.
The things
dude,
that get you riled up.
I don't want to burst your bubble, but I was looking at the matchup predictor for that next game. Yeah. Cougs are only a 56% chance of winning as a favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cougum.
Well, we'll see how it happens. But like sorry, I said, Nick. You can hate on them now, but they're going to be okay long term. It's just that
are they?
I think they are. Dana's just got to get his players.
Did we mention De'Aaron King breaking Tebow's record?
And that was going to say, for all that you'd say that Dana needs to get recruits in,
yeah,
he had to be real happy De'Aaron King was still there, because that's a hell of an accomplishment. Yeah. A rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown in now, what, 16 straight games? Yeah. That's impressive stuff.
Yeah, pretty good.
So congratulations to De'Aaron King. Unfortunately, congratulations to the Tulane Green Wave. And then with that, well, that's hour number one. So we've got 2 hours still to go in the show. Plenty to get to. Of course, we're going to have Sarah Barshop, our Texans beat reporter for ESPN, joining us at 3:30 and at 2:30. Our hotel guy, Steve's going to join us. Talk about L.A. and the Chargers and the Texans fans heading out to the West Coast. Don't go away. It's coming up. Second hour right here. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.